You got your Bibles, go with me to, you go to Hebrews chapter 3, because I'm going to start at Hebrews chapter 3 with this introduction for the year of. The year of is going to really come out of Hebrews chapter 4. So I want to just read some scriptures to you before I just tell you what the year of is. God gave me this back in April. We had just got into the year and had just come out of the first quarter, and he had already begun to talk about what 16 would look like and what 17 would be. So I had a chance to watch 16 and see a lot of things take place and smile in my heart, because the Holy Spirit had already told me what was to come. In your Bible, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, write these scriptures down. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, the Bible says, and on the seventh day, somebody say seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested, underline rested, on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day. Somebody done forsaken the seventh day. God blessed the seventh day, and he sanctified it. It ain't nothing but another day. When did we begin to come against what God blessed and sanctified? He blessed the seventh day, and he sanctified it. He set it apart from all of the other days, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Somebody said, God rested. Genesis chapter 8, verse number 4 says, and the ark rested in the seventh month. Somebody say rested. And the ark rested in the seventh month. On the 17th day of the month, look at what day it rested, on the 17th day. We're paralleling the 17th day with the 17th year. The ark rested on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. This 17th day was in the month of Nisan, which we equate to the resurrection month. And so on the 17th day, God rested the ark. And then on the 17th day, Jesus rose from the grave, resting from his labor and his work that he was called to do and bringing salvation to the body of Christ in the same month of Nisan. In the month of Nisan, Jesus resurrected on the 17th day. He was crucified on the 14th day prior to the harvest and prior to Passover. And 3 days later, he resurrected on Nisan 17, giving rest to the body of Christ. Noah in the ark rested on Mount Ararat on the 17th day, being a picture of what salvation would look like in Jesus to come. And on the 17th year, we're going to walk into those prophetic revelations. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 9 through 19. This is just an introduction. It says, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, talking about the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Noah rested. Jesus rested. God rested. But he said, there's a generation that will not enter into my rest. He says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is still called today. Somebody shout today. Today. He says, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Do you understand why we're dealing with repentance? For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the day of provocation. For some, when they heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. Verse 17 says, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. That's an answer to a question that I'm going to ask you Wednesday night. I want you to look at that. Some could not enter into that rest for one reason, because of unbelief. Unbelief has become prominent in the body of Christ. We don't believe what God said anymore because we have not seen the fruit in the manifestation. And we've heard prophecy after prophecy after prophecy after prophecy after prophecy, prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet, tell us what God is going to do. And none of these things have materialized, and so now our spiritual senses have become deadened to the word of God, and when he speaks, we don't believe it because we have not seen anything manifest yet. And so unbelief has crept into the body of Christ, and when we hear a word, we don't believe the word that we hear. We just mark it off as that's another good saying, or that's another good thing, but I ain't gonna believe nothing until I see it come to pass. And so the church is filled with a bunch of doubters. They're saying they got faith in God, but don't believe in anything anymore. Don't believe in miracles. Don't believe in healing. Don't believe in praying. Don't believe in tithing. Don't believe in fasting. Don't believe in serving. Just go to check the box, but no faith in the mix. God says those kind won't enter into my rest. Those kind are filling time and space, but they have no place with me in the kingdom because they have no faith. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. This is where we're coming from in 2017. I need you to have the word to back this up. The Holy Spirit is speaking in. We asking him questions. Are you sure? Is this thing really possible? Can this happen? How am I going to be able to do this? You're not when you keep questioning God. If you don't stand up in your faith and begin to move when he say move, God says, I ain't convincing my people no more. When I say move, you got to move. And if you don't move, get out of the way. Psalm 17, God is going to be making way for a generation of people that he's ready to fill his house with, because he's tired of rocks sitting up in seats, amen, occupying space and time, but have faith for nothing. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 1. I'm not talking to RCC. I'm talking to the body of Christ right now. And I want you to understand, this ain't just a message for RCC. We're not big enough to contain what God is saying. God is speaking to the kingdom right now, amen. The kingdom got to line up with what heaven is saying, amen. And God says, if the kingdom don't line up, I'll change the kingdom. I'll flip the kingdom. I'll take unrighteous man and put my anointing on him and raise him up for this day and time. And I'll bring him out of the jail. I'll bring him out of the crack house. I'll bring him out of the prison. And I'll throw my anointing on him and walk him in the pulpit. You play church, but I'm ready for the real church to stand up in 2017. It's not about a song. It's not about a dance. It's not about another sermon. This is about movement and activation and doing what God said do. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Are you there? If you're there, shout glory. This ain't the year for the kingdom to play games. This ain't the year for the kingdom to babysit. This ain't the year for the kingdom to coddle immature minors in the house of God. This ain't the year to pacify. And this ain't the year to suck on the nipple. This is the year for those that are ready to eat meat and those that are ready to walk in revelation and to digest the word of God. This is the year for the mature believers. Hebrews chapter 4, Hallelujah. Chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. This is the backdrop for where I've been since April of this year. Amen. I didn't have much to say to you in 2016. Amen. My assignment was to observe and to watch you. Not just RCC, but to watch the body and see how the body of Christ was moving. Amen. And how was it aligned? And how was it connected? And to see where are, amen, the discomfited pieces? And how is the body separated and broken down? And religion has done a number on the people of God. Hebrews 4, 1 through 11 says, let us therefore fear. Lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest. Do you know where I'm going already just by hearing what I'm saying? Lest a promise being left of us entering into his rest. Any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Man, that ain't nothing but another word. That's just another sermon. Ain't nothing gonna come out of that. You are absolutely 100% right. You should have stayed at home in your bed, put your covers back over your head. Well, just wait for your time to end, because if you come to the house of God without faith, you can expect to receive nothing from him. Amen. If you don't leave with nothing else, you ought to leave with faith. Amen. Faith for something. I don't care what it is, but you ought to have faith for something. He said, man, we done heard word after word, 20 plus years of hearing word, 30 plus years, and ain't nothing happening. Why? Because there's a seed of doubt. There's a small seed of doubt that's resting on the inside of us. And every time faith gets in, doubt begins to talk to it and say, you can't do that. Ain't nothing gonna happen in your life. Do you not know where you come from? Look at your bank account. You ain't got enough money to do what I'm telling you to do. And when you leave the spirit and go back to the natural, you agree with the natural, amen. And walk away from the spirit. He says, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. They heard it, apostle. It's not that it was not preached. It's not that it was not declared. It's not that the word was not given. It's not that they didn't have ears to hear, but they didn't mix it with faith. Verse 3 said, for we which have believed do enter into rest. You got to catch this. We which have believed do enter into rest, as he said. As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works was finished from the foundations of the world, the works has already been done. Everything that's in our life has already been done. Mama Banks, our life is on replay and we just don't know it. Our life is on replay, and if we really knew what God has already done in our life, man, we would attack hell with a water pistol. You got to understand, we would not be afraid of anything, because nothing can get in the way, because what will be in our life has already been, and all we got to do is walk it out in faith. All we got to do is walk it out in faith. Amen. You can't fail in faith. You got to get this. You can't fail in faith. You might fall back, but you can't fail in faith if you keep getting up and coming forward. If they shall enter into my rest, although the works was finished from the foundation of the world. Verse 4 says, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. Just read it to you in Genesis. And God did rest. What did God do? Let's say that one more time. What did God do? Let's say it one more time. What did God do? He rested. And God did what? He rested on the seventh day from all of his works. And in this place, verse 5 again says, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remains that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of what? Say it again. The only thing between you and the promises of God is your unbelief. Not another sermon, not another accusation, not another attack on a fivefold ministry gift, not another blame on a pastor. The only thing between you and the promises of God for your life is overcoming your unbelief. Unbelief will block you from the kingdom. Unbelief will stop you from receiving what God has given unto you. Unbelief will talk you out of your destiny and make you walk in Lodabar, walking around with a grasshopper mentality, small-minded, when God has made us giants. In the earth realm, we are the light of the world. We are set upon a hill that the world might see the glory of God, but yet we are hiding the anointing with a grasshopper mentality, not believing that God can do what he said he would do. Prophesying the right thing, but believing the wrong thing. Verse 6 says, seeing there remains that some must enter therein, that they to whom it was first preached entered not because of unbelief. Verse 7 says, again, he limits a certain day, saying in David, today. Somebody shout, today. Today is the day of your revelation. Today is the day of your anointing. Today is the day of your new beginning. Amen. In Christ Jesus. Somebody shout, today. He says, today. After so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Somebody lay your hands on your heart and say, I got to get over this hard heart. Convince yourself, I got to change my heart. I got to have a heart transplant. That's why we got to deal with repentance again. Repentance is the measure of getting a new heart. Amen. I got to let this stony heart go and be able to receive and hear what heaven is saying. He says, for today, after so long a time, they said it last night, what took you so long? After so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Verse 8. For if Jesus had given them rest. Oh, you better catch this. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? We caught up on the resurrection. We shouting on the resurrection. But he didn't just rise from the grave to give us access to heaven. There was something else that was given in the resurrection. He said, you glad you got a pass to get back to heaven, but I didn't come down just to make a way for you to get to heaven. I came that you might be victorious in the earth. You trying to get back to heaven, and I'm trying to activate you in the earth. I'm trying to mobilize you and get you to moving in the earth. But all you can believe is that you got a seat in glory. Yeah. Thy will be done where? Thy will be done where? Thy will be done where? As it is in. Religion has tried to get you to heaven before you walked out your purpose in the earth. Religion is about killing you and getting you to die faster so you can get to heaven and leave your assignment. But the kingdom of God is about you living your life to the fullest in the earth. Tell somebody, live your life to the fullest. Touch somebody else and tell them, live your life to the fullest. The world is looking at the church and seeing busted, broke, disgusted people trying to get out of here and get to heaven. And God says, I'm flipping the script. He's given us wisdom. He's given us authority. He's given us anointing. He's given us vision. He's given us provision. He stood over our life as Jehovah Jireh. I see you, and I'm going to provide for you. Tell somebody, ask him, what are you scared of? What are you scared of? What are you scared of? What's stopping you from running into your vision? Slow it down, slow it down. What's holding you back? What's keeping you tied to the seat that you're sitting in and believing that God, let me say this, God ain't about to drop nothing else in the earth realm. Everything he dropped is already here. And on the seventh day when he finished, he was done with the earth. The earth belongs to us now. We are the guardians and the custodians of the earth. And when we open our mouth, what we say must line up if we say it in faith. Yeah. Tell somebody, tell them, start speaking your faith again. Speak your faith again. Speak your faith again. The enemy has tried to choke you from speaking your faith words. The enemy has tried to silence you from speaking your faith word. The enemy has made you agree with him instead of the word of God. But I dare you to agree with the word. We sitting around like the man at the pool of Bethesda saying, I ain't got nobody to put me in. I ain't got nobody to help me in. Every time I get ready to go, somebody else get in the water before me. God says there's enough anointing for everybody. Ain't no one man got all the anointing. Ain't no one woman got all the authority. There's enough for everybody. Tell somebody, everybody, 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 you got a part to play, amen, in this kingdom assignment. You got a role to play. You got an anointing for somebody in this assignment. And if your anointing has burned off, for if Jesus had given them rest, verse 8, then we not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest to the people of God. Who is that rest for? How come everybody else is resting? How come ain't nobody else staying woke at night? How come other people got all of their needs met, elder? How come everybody else that don't even name his name can sleep in peace, but the body of Christ is in turmoil and travailing and can't figure this thing out? Did Jesus die in vain? There remains a rest for God's people. There remains a rest for God's people. There remains a rest for God's people. The only way you don't get this rest is if you're not God's people and you walk in unbelief. There remains a rest for God's people. He's going to undo heavy burdens in 17. See, your faith got to catch that. He's going to remove mental roadblocks in 2017. He's going to remove revelation restrictions in 2017. He's going to remove dead weight out of your life in 2017. He's going to put people behind you that's been blocking you in 2017 because you're going to rest in your assignment. Come here real quick. Come here. Come here. Come here. Come here. Come here. Come here, Stacy. Come here. Turn around. You just walk in front of me. You've been trying to fight through dead weight. Turn around this way. You've been trying to fight through dead weight. Opposition, your opposition is fighting each other. And you trying to figure out how to get around opposition, but your opposition is fighting each other to get to you, and you trying to push through, and you push back against him. You trying to push through what you see, but it ain't what you see that's messing with you. Dead weight, dead stuff, dead people. If it's dead, let it be dead. My mother and father passed away 9 months of each other, 13 years ago. I'm not going to the grave looking for them.
Say it again.
I'm not sitting on their tombstone saying, Mama, what's going wrong in my life? She's dead now. There's some things God has killed in your life, and you keep bringing it back up. God says, let the dead rest so you can get your rest. And this is what's happening in 17. He says, I'm moving your opposition. I'm pushing things out of your way so you have unrestricted access. You have free pass. That when it tries to come back, I'm moving it out of your way. All you got to do is walk in your authority. Walk in your revelation. Walk in the anointing. Walk in the identity of who you are. Somebody give God praise. Give God praise right there. Somebody need to move your opposition in the spirit right now. So somebody need to clear your opposition out the way right now. You see, it looked like a foolish thing, just waving your hand. But if you can believe Moses stretched forth a rod, if you can believe David got a slingshot, if you can believe that the judges slew men with the jawbone of an ass, if you can believe that a donkey got a message, what's moving your hand? What's clearing the airway in front of you? Can you see your way through? Can you see your way through? Can you release yourself from the debris and the clutter? Can you release yourself from the frustration and the opposition? Somebody shout glory. Somebody shout glory again. This is our introduction, amen. Verse 10 says, for he that has entered into his rest. You see verse 10? For he that has entered into his rest. He that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works. Look at your neighbor and say, why are you working so hard?
No, ask him again.
Why, really, why are you working so hard? This is the question that launches us into the year of. Look behind you and ask somebody, why are you really working so hard? I grow. Ask yourself, why am I working so hard? when the word says, for he that has entered into his rest. When God give you a vision, he don't want you to fight with that vision. He wants you to rest in it. When opposition come to it, you just got to remember. We spend too much time in the vision dealing with opposition. Fighting opposing forces. I don't like the way he preached. Well, get up out of here. 2017, the revelation is going to come. If I'm not your shepherd and she's not your shepherd, you got my permission to get up out of here and go find your shepherd. I don't want you to sit down and leave the same way you came, heavy and distressed. If you can't receive the word, I'm not your shepherd. And you holding somebody else's seat up. So this ain't the year that we're going to babysit people's feelings and convince them to walk with the vision. This is the year that we're going to open up the door. Begin to wave at the door. Every foul spirit, every unclean spirit, every demonic spirit, every undisciplined spirit, somebody wave bye-bye. We ain't holding nothing that don't belong to us in 2017. If she ain't your pastor, if I'm not your apostle, I give you permission, starting this week, go and find your shepherd. Go and find your man and woman of God. Somebody got a word for you. It don't have to be me, but somebody got a word for you. Go and find them. That ain't in my message, but that's in the spirit. We preaching to people that don't belong to us. And they hear the word, but it's not mixed with faith, because we're not the voices over their life. Man, I got to tell you what the year of is. There's undue weight on the house of God, because we got goats walking with the sheep. And they saying but to everything. I hear you, Apostle, but. I hear you, Pastor Vicky, but. I hear you, leaders, but. Everything got a but. Butting everything, believing nothing. Open the door for me, Pastor Chambers. Wave bye-bye. Don't mean I don't love you. Don't mean that I don't care about you. I love you enough to let you go. I love you enough to release you. I love you enough to send you to your appointed place. Wave at him. Don't mean I won't hug you in Walmart and Target. Don't mean that I won't still send you a birthday card. Don't mean that I won't still embrace you, but you can't stay where I am if I'm not your shepherd. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and a stranger they will not follow. If you ain't my sheep, get up out of my pen. Can't feed people that don't belong to you. Can't lead people that don't understand where you're going. Can't take people into your assignment. They're still trying to look back in Egypt to see where we came from. We ain't there no more. Way back to the past. Sit down for about 10 minutes. I need to practically tell you this. And then on Wednesday night, we're going to give you the understanding of what it is that we introduce on today. Amen. There's some powerful things that God is saying. Verse 10, for he that has entered into his rest. Wave your hand if you're going to enter your rest this year. Wave your hand if you really want to enter your rest. I'm prophesying to you that 17, your life is going on autopilot. Somebody better catch this revelation. 17, you're going to be able to take your hands off the wheel because you've ascended to the right altitude. There ain't no opposition to your anointing coming in this year. And so you're going to be able to press autopilot. Lay back in your seat of authority and just move your hands. When clouds of discontentment come, just move your hands to clear a path for you to go through. Coming back from California, the pilot said, put your seatbelt on because there's a little turbulence ahead of us. It don't mean ain't no turbulence gonna come, but put your seatbelt on because the Holy Ghost is flying this plane this year. This is the year where the Holy Ghost shall lead us. The Holy Ghost shall guide us. The Spirit of the Lord shall bring us in. This is the year of the Lord's work. My. Let me say this in the introduction. He ceased from his own work as God did from his. Verse 11 says, let us labor. I want you to underline that word. I got to deal with it later on. Let us labor. That word labor means to work hard. So it don't really fit right here when we talk about rest. But look at what verse 11 says. It says, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. It ain't gonna just come up on you. You're gonna have to work hard to get into this rest. Well, what are you gonna be working against? Your soul realm. You're gonna be working against your mind, your will, your emotions, your intellect, and your desires. God says, I'm gonna get your soul right. I'm going to get your soul right in 17. Because when you get your mind right, there's nothing impossible to you. When your mind is right, touch your mind and say, my soul is made well. Verse 11 says, let us work hard to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. I read to you a lot of scriptures just to say this to you. Around April 2016, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me about the year of 2017. He reminded me how we had come out of 2015 dealing with the year of establishing. Entered the year of 2016 dealing with kingdom expansion. The expansion, he said, was not solely a physical expansion, but God was working something even more so on the soul in the spirit. Both 2015 and 2016 were filled with tasks, things to accomplish, such as abruptly moving from Woodside to the Marriott, very labor-intensive services week after week after week. Then we began construction and renovation on this facility soon as we left, amen, and got to the Marriott. We moved into this facility on January the 31st, 2016. Feels like we've been here a year already, don't it? We've not even been here a year yet. Because it's been labor. It's been work. Week after week after week after week, from the time of moving here until now, we've been working and trying to get settled in. God reminded me that expansion does not come without conflict. That's right. Sure. He said the conflict arises from the tension of being pulled and stressed. Right. He said if the tension was not properly managed, it would lead to frustration and fatigue. Around July or August 2016, I noticed a heaviness and a fatigue that had come over the leadership in particular. To manage the fatigue factor, Pastor Vicky and I consciously pulled back from adding new tasks and implementing additional pieces to the vision that God had given us. We purposely held off starting a second service in September because the leader said, how are we going to do all that and what we're doing now? The Holy Spirit brought the revelation that the leaders were fatigued and saying, we ain't even filled this service yet. How can we get to that service? And God said they didn't understand out of their fatigue, I build it and I fill it strategically according to my plans. I don't wait for it to get full before I do something else. I fill it and then I move it at my will and my desire. But because of fatigue, we said, let it rest. We made decisions to put some dates and events on hold to give the ministry time to settle and find its rhythm. We watched the attendance drop off significantly on midweek services and the giving go from thousands to less than 300. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But God said, I reminded you in April of what it was going to look like. So don't put your hands on it, but rest in it. Don't count the people and don't count the money, but count on me to do what I said I'm gonna do. We watched it drop off, and he reminded me that Jesus had 120, but he had to get down to 12 before he could activate them, and only three really understood what he was talking about. He says, you're walking in the will of Christ. Don't you count them and try to keep them. Release the dead weight and let it go so I can send you who belongs to you. We watched Sunday morning attendance began to get sluggish in November and December, and we wrote it off for Thanksgiving and Christmas. They shopping. They on vacation. They visiting family. We gave excuses to the vision so that we could keep peace while we're carrying out what God called us to do. While again in my yard, Apostle, the Holy Spirit reminded me of what he had showed me in April. And he began to minister to me about the value of something that has been lost. He says, the ingredient for my people, they know it, but it's been lost. Yeah. And in 17, you got to remind them and teach them and bring them back into the revelation of what it is. He began to minister to me about the value of the Sabbath. Don't mean nothing to you, because we threw it out with religion. We threw it away as not meaning anything. We made it just another day. He began to talk to me about the value of the Sabbath and the importance of teaching his people how to rest and what rest is from his perspective. It was then that God declared to me, and I shared with Pastor Vicky, that the year of 2017 would be the year of the Sabbath rest. Because it don't mean nothing to you yet. Is there an image of the year of the Sabbath rest? I want you to look at this image, because there's a peacefulness and a stillness that God is going to bring into the body of Christ. He's going to bring us upon still waters. Our leaves are not going to wither in their places. We're going to flourish as we relax in the high places of God. He's going to open up castles and doors and airways for us. He's going to give us entrance into grand places. And all he says is, this is the year of my Sabbath rest. Somebody say Sabbath rest. Sabbath rest. Somebody say Sabbath rest. 2017, the year of the Sabbath rest. What did that mean? This will be a year of entering into God's rest. Tell somebody, I got to enter. Tell them again, I got to enter into his rest. I told you at the beginning, this would not mean anything to you on January the 1st. But I can assure you, in 17, you will not get fatigued. You will not get tired. You will not get heavy in the vision. You will not get frustrated, because the Sabbath rest is going to be reinstituted in your life. What is the Sabbath rest? How do we get back to the Sabbath rest? When is the Sabbath? I need to just answer all of those questions on Wednesday night. You got to come back on Wednesday night, because I'm going to talk to you about the purpose and the blessing of the Sabbath. The purpose and the blessing of the Sabbath. There are some benefits that the Sabbath has that tithing don't have. Lift your hands and say, I've got to enter the Sabbath rest. Can I say about 5 more minutes worth of things to you? I don't have nearly the time I need to help you understand the Sabbath, but your homework is to go home and to begin to look at it. Your your homework is to go home before Wednesday night and to begin to be reintroduced to the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not the same day for everybody. Most pastors work on Sunday. Look at me sweating. This ain't my Sabbath day. This is my work day. And if I work, I gotta give it all I got. Because Monday is coming. And Monday is my rest day. Monday is my Sabbath. When I don't think about Restoration Christian Church, I don't look for nothing at RCC. I don't deal with RCC. I rest in the Lord. Wednesday night, we're going to teach you how to find your Sabbath rest. Can I say this to you before I close? We're living in a time where everything is moving faster and faster. And people are busier and busier than they've ever been in any time in history. We're living in a postmodern technological age where many of us are attached at the hip to our work. You see, if you don't understand where your rest is going to come from, you won't know how to enter into it. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. He says, we are driven by overly packed schedules, due dates, and to-do lists. Our cell phones and iPads have made us accessible so that we have our office on our hip. And people can reach us regardless of where we are. He says this technological advancement has put many of us in bondage. The Holy Spirit says you're working 7 days a week. Upwards of 70 to 100 hours per week trying to be successful. You can't success burnt out. You can't succeed if your body is so tired and fatigued that you don't know what to do next. You've seen business models and business plans that say 70 hours to 100 hours a week, 10,000 hours in your trade. If you want to be successful, that is the world standard. I'm coming to tell you, if you want to be successful, learn how to rest. Seven days a week. 70 hours to 100 hours a week, work-related matters without even thinking about it, because we're living in a virtual world. We can pick up the phone and call. We can Skype. We can text. We can do iMessages, and we can communicate with people, and it don't look like we're working because we're not in an office or a building. Vacation with our work. Sporting events with our work. Sitting with the family, still doing our work. Never getting a day off because work is with us all day. But on the seventh day, God rested. I prophesy a seventh day anointing over this house. I prophesy a day of rest. Lift your hands. I prophesy to you that you won't be burdened by the vision this year. This ministry will find its place of rest. Your houses must find its place of rest. While it may look like you're unrestrained, while it may look like you're accomplishing more, I've noticed that the body of Christ is becoming stagnant. It's suffering and becoming sluggish and weakened. Because God never intended for his people to work 7 days at such an unrelentless pace and not enter into his rest. He said they wandered 40 years and they couldn't get in because of unbelief. God, if I don't work, then I ain't gonna get nothing accomplished. And so I don't care what nobody else say. Maybe all their bills are paid. Maybe they need their needs are met. But they don't understand if I don't get this overtime. They don't understand that this is time and a half. They don't understand that I need this money for what I got to do. But you don't understand, you're killing yourself slowly. Strokes. Heart attacks. Hypertension. Diabetes. People are suffering. Obese. People are suffering because they don't know how to pull away and rest. We're wondering why we are so tired and exhausted. The Spirit spoke to me and said, it's because these labor-saving devices has put us in a position of bondage like never before. We're hostage to the hip and we can't find rest. We're hostage to the beep, to the bell, and to the tone. Every time it goes off, we run to respond to it, not knowing that it has an off button. Touch somebody and tell them, turn it off. Touch somebody and tell them to turn it off and find your rest. Amen. God says, when you turn it off, you will learn how to turn me up. And you'll learn how to hear me on a higher frequency. Because have you not noticed, every time you determine to get in my presence, as soon as you kneel down, your phone goes off. He says the enemy knows how to separate you from prayer. The enemy knows how to get you out of the presence of God. And he's so subtle and so cunning that he's not working through the spirit of a man, but he's working through a device. And these devices have become the enemy. They're good for us, but they're not always good to us. Because when it takes me away from the presence of God, it becomes a hindrance and a weight. I don't have to throw it away, but I got to learn that it's okay to turn it off. Tell your neighbor, turn it off. Be disciplined, amen. 2017, the year of the Sabbath rest. Our mind doesn't know how to stop working. Our soul does not know how to rest. It wants to keep going and going and going on and on. One idea after the next, and like a dog chasing his tail, we shift visions every week. I'm supposed to be doing this, and then next week, no, I'm supposed to be doing that. Oh, I thought you was doing this. No, this is my new vision, and we're chasing ideas, trying to find success. When God says, I'm going to return you to the original. I'm going to bring you back to the first thing that I spoke to you. And the first thing that I said to you, that was the original thing that I intended for you. You made side steps to try to get there. But God says, I'm reordering your steps and I'm bringing you back into alignment. And I'm going to get you there by allowing you to focus on the Sabbath rest.
How many of you know rest does not mean inactivity? Rest does not mean inactivity. In this year of Sabbath rest, it's going to be a year of reflection. Write this down, and we're going to talk about it Wednesday. It's going to be a year of inspection. It's going to be a year of introspection. It's going to be a year of evaluation. It's going to be a year of setting priorities. It's going to be a year of resetting balance and order in the house. And it's going to be a year of establishing purposeful and meaningful time with the Lord. How many of you know true rest begins with God's gift of the Sabbath? You can't have rest without entering into the Sabbath. He gave us the Sabbath as a gift of restoration so that we could recover from our normal cycle of life, which is to run on and run on and run on and never stop. But the enemy has come in and told us that resting is idleness. And that when you rest, you're being idle and you're not accomplishing anything. And that resting is inactivity. And he wanted you to stay busy so that you couldn't reflect like God did. The trick of the enemy is to wear us down and to make us useless and unfruitful in the kingdom. But this rest that God is bringing us into in 17 is not a rest of inactivity, but it's a gift of God for personal restoration and rejuvenation. Rest will not be synonymous with inactivity. Jesus said in Matthew 11, and I close with this scripture, verse 28 through 30. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Some of you struggled to get out of 16, and you need to enter that rest starting on this day. I need you to just walk down to this altar. He says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He says, "Take my yoke upon you." Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek. I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest. Listen to this. You shall find rest unto your souls. Your body is drained because your soul has been running rampant. Your mind has been taking you places that you ain't had no business going. In places, in regions, in rooms that you ain't ought to be in. And God says, "I want to bring you into my rest." He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Around this altar, I want you to lift your hands because we're going to activate a yoke exchange. We're going to speak to you a yoke exchange. Somebody else may be in this room and you've been running that race and you've been working and working and working and working, but you're not accomplishing anything. God says it's not in your work that you're going to see the fruit of the kingdom. It's in giving him what belongs to him, and he wants your rest. Because on that Sabbath rest, you will focus on him. And you will focus on what he wants to accomplish in your life. There's at least three more of you that need to come here because you got agendas. Your agenda is already filled for this year, and you are only on day one. God says, I need you to give me my time. You working 7 days a week, and you still you're not accomplishing anything. God says, I want what's mine, and mine is your time. I want my rest. Give me back my day. Give me back my time that I spent with you. Give me back the place that I had in your life when we could sit down and fellowship together. God says, come back to me, and I'll come back to you. Return unto me, and I'll return unto you. Lift your hands while I bring you under this. I'm here to pronounce over you. 2017 shall be your year of Sabbath rest. This will be a year where you will operate in strategic purpose. This year you will set priorities and you'll be intentional about every decision that you make. Just like God was intentional in the creation. He knew how day one would be connected to day two, and day two was connected to day three, and so forth. He knew that at the end of the sixth day, everything that he intended to do, he had already done it. And so on the seventh day, he sat back on his throne in glory and he inspected his creation. And he made declarations about it. He said, that's good. And on other things, he said, that's very good. This is the year. You will not just toss your seed to the wind and hope that it grows. But this year, you will intentionally plant your seed. You will be determined regarding your vision. People that don't line up with the plans of God for your life, you will begin to release them. You will love them, but you will release them so that the glory of the Lord can manifest in your life. In 2017, you must take the time around this altar to make assessments about what you're willing to change and what you're not willing to change, what you're willing to work on, and what you're willing to improve upon. Look at that which is working well and keep doing it. But look at that which is not fruitful and let it go. Don't be afraid to walk away from some things. Because God says when you let it go, I'm going to open up new realms of possibilities for your life. But I can't do a new thing until you release the old thing. Lift your hand around the altar and yell, let it go. One more time for the Father, let it go. One more time for the Son, let it go. One more time for the Holy Ghost, let it go. I want you to understand, God is giving you a Sabbath. And then the Sabbath, he says, you're going to find your rest. With that rest is going to come your peace. With that rest is going to come your healing. With that rest is going to come your deliverance. With that rest is going to come the promises of God for our life. On Wednesday night, I'm going to talk to you about the benefits of this rest. But from this day until you get back here Wednesday night, I want you to go home and evaluate your life. I want you to look at 2016 and find what was not working for you. I want you to write it down, and Wednesday night, I want you to bring it, and I want you to put it on this altar, on the piece of paper that you write it on.